It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the guys of Coppin Fracas.
The longest wait, a generation on and more, for the 19th time in their history, for the first time in the Premier League.
Hello, buddy. Welcome to this episode of Coppin Fracas, powered by Sportsline Media Group. It's a bit of a two-man game this week. I'm not going to bother with the introductions. You're just going to hear two voices this week. It's myself, Krish, and the general, the man himself, the person who can definitely lift 75 kg, Ellis. How are you doing today, bro?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You guys going to say you definitely saw that topic on the timeline. Was like, quite pathetic, really. Yeah.
I'm not too sure what it was, but I saw one tweet from Touchy Gooner's own show saying about something about 75k. I didn't really take any notice. What was the topic? What was going on there?
I'm not entirely sure myself, but I think it's one of those, as a man, you should be able to lift 75 kg.
Oh, okay.
We could kind of talk about this a little bit. There's not that much Liverpool news to talk about this week, but yeah. You know, those kind of tweets get out of hand, where I think to the point where in the next few weeks I'm going to see, as a man, you should be able to go one-on-one with The Undertaker. These are the type of tweets I'm expecting to see over the course of the next fortnight or so. Yeah. So, you know.
As a man, you should be able to take a few punches from prime Mike Tyson and that.
You know. As a man, you should be able to last two rounds of Iron Mike.
Iron Mike.
Just to let you know that I'm out of this situation.
Yeah, I'm out of this.
Fucking hell. And for more of these random topics that we do discuss, we actually discuss these on our Patreon exclusive show, AOB, and the other business. And the only way to listen to that is subscribe to the Coppin Fracas Patreon page. And, you know, long-term listeners, short-term listeners, if you're not subscribed at this point, then I don't particularly know what you're doing. It's just £3 a month. You get a guaranteed 3 shows a week. Sometimes you get 5 shows a week. Break that down into, you know, little budgeting options. It's sometimes it could work out to about 10 pence per show. So it is very affordable, very digestible shows from us here. And it's just a great way to support us and, you know, keep the train going, really. And we've got some, you know, I say this every week, we've got some fantastic stuff coming up. We've got some fantastic stuff already in the bank. So, yeah, do head over to www.patreon.com/coppinfracas and subscribe today. Or else, again, Ellis will come round and he will slap you in the face.
He will.
These are the consequences. So. He won't. Or Willie. There we go. You know what I mean?
Sign up.
Yeah, sign up and find out. There we go. Or take the risk and don't sign up. Yeah. Not much really happened, has there, else, to be fair. So what we're going to do is going to talk about what's happened really and what we expect to come. So, you know, me and you were fairly optimistic about all things Liverpool. We're fairly optimistic at the beginning of the season. We're fairly optimistic with some of the lack of transfer, even with the lack of transfer activity that we saw throughout the summer. Given what you've seen, how are you feeling at this point?
Still optimistic, you know. We haven't lost a game this season. I know we had a bit of a chat in the group chat about how we started, and drawing 3 games out of the first 7 is not particularly good, according to some. But apart from the Brentford game, which we should be winning, regardless of how good Brentford are, and they've started really, really well. They look really organised. We've got more better players than them, and we're a better team than them. So we should be beating them there. But aside from that, drawing against Man City, even with that first half, drawing against Chelsea, they've started really well. I think we can take positives from that. They're two very good teams, and you don't win more 9 out of 10 times. You don't win the league by beating those teams. You win the league by beating the dross. No offense to anyone. You win the league by winning, beating the lesser teams. So I'm having 1-4 out of 7. And if you look at the last 17 games, going from the back end of last season until now, we haven't lost any games. So we're slowly getting back to the 2018-2020 Liverpool, when we were just unstoppable. Having said all of that, I'm fairly optimistic. I feel that there's still one more in this squad of players to try and do something and accomplish something very great this season. We are getting injuries, but then if you look around, so is everyone else. I think reports came out.
Yeah, I mean, look at United today. I think Maguire's got a bit of a knock, and Varane's going to be out for some time. So you're looking at Bailly Lindelof again. That's one of the ones where we go run it back. You know?
Yeah, run it back. Yeah, run it back, Turbo. So and we've got them in the next couple of weeks. I don't know if City got any injuries. I'm not too sure. I know they'll Chelsea.
So the City thing's interesting because they'll have the same issue I think we'll have in terms of South American lads going away for international duty. So I'm not entirely sure what the situation was with the reserve keeper, Zach Steffen. He's actually not that bad, but obviously he went away. If he went away with America, he'll be out. So the weirdest thing is their backup goalkeeper, Scott Carson.
That is funny. That is really random. That is really random. I think a lot of people are making it out as if like we've got, 15 players available week in, week out, and we don't. Of course, you want quality from 1 to 24, whatever it is. But in a realistic world, you're not going to get that because you need space for your young players. You need space for other lesser players. You know what I'm saying? But I think we still have enough to take us through a little injury spell. So going back to your question, Chris, I believe that I'm still optimistic, and I feel that Liverpool are on the right path. So we'll see how it goes, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. To be fair, else the Brentford one is very interesting because I think they're a team that will be within top 10, top 11 until around about after Christmas. You just look at how much effort and intensity they're putting into their games. I mean, they're fantastic against us. It's undeniable. And some of the games I've seen them in this season, that the intensity, that just that in-game intensity with pressures, you know, trying to win the ball back, and plays they did in the Championship has still been there. But I think as we've seen with teams from, you know, previous seasons gone by, they start really well, but then that Premier League slog really hits them after Christmas, and you see that gradual decline where they not hovering above the relegation zone, where they're in that space where they're quite safe and not really got much to play for. So I can see Brentford being in that realm going forward. But yeah, I mean, the only disappointing one for me is probably the Chelsea result. 10 men, but, you know, Tuchel set up really well second half. We know how Chelsea likes to play that, you know, playing that weird kind of defensive style is probably their best way of seeing things home this season. It looks like, which is weird when you spend all that money on a striker and whatnot. And, you know, I'm happy for the Chelsea media machine to kind of, you know, show me stats and data on the Twitter account to try and prove me wrong. But here we are.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, going to that point, Chris, if you spend about 150, 160 on 2 strikers in 2 summers.
Bro, they were Rick Ross, they were BMFing, man. Hard.
BMFing, And yeah, you should have really obviously each to their own. I mean, Tuchel is a good manager, and he has ideas and he has his way of setting up. But I mean, you shouldn't really be trying to sit back when you have that kind of level of attacking talent.
I agree. Team. Yeah.
You, me personally, that like, we saw it against Man City. It looked like a team trying to not lose and just stay above the relegation. So I mean, you're at home. You've got a lot of talent. Go at Man City. But alas, here we are. Do you know what I'm saying?
The depth issue. I say issue. That you pointed out just is quite a funny one, because I see everyone every single day when there's like a new injury report, it just absolutely hammer, and I mean hammer, that poor Dan Kennett, man, pointed out that depth chart. The poor bloke, he's just trying to make he's only trying to make a point, and he's being pammed from here to Timbuktu. It's insane.
It's crazy.
But when we see some of the injuries, obviously, I think we're expecting Trent and Thiago back at the weekend, which, you know, let's not beat around the bush. That'd be huge. I mean, obviously, we saw how much Trent was missed against City from both an attacking and a defensive point of view, which I think has been a little bit overblown. You know, he's not the greatest defender. You know what I mean? He's not, I'm trying to think of some fantastic right backs. From back in the day, but I'm drawing a bit of a blank here.
He's not happy as
that's, you know, that's the perfect example. He's not Zanetti, but he can do a very good job, and he's an athletic fella as well, and you could see how he would benefit in that scenario a little bit more than Milner. And Thiago's just a fantastic player. Silky smooth, in the middle of the park, can spray it around and dictate the flow of games a bit better. So especially with Champions League games coming up against one of the biggest terrorists in world football, Diego Simeone, I think he's going to be very necessary for that. So those are going to be two huge pieces coming back into the fold. But one of the big issues that I think we did talk about a lot of Cop End going into the season was that we didn't have the requisite amount of depth needed to kind of see out the campaign. I think we can all agree at the first 11 is fantastic. This kind of new role that Bobby's taken from off the bench and, you know, rotating in and out up front with Jota, I think has worked well for both of them. But we were really concerned about, you know, not having a game-changing attacking option off the bench, which we, in past seasons, we would have thought would be Jorge Shaqiri, but that's not really worked out. And we thought that would be kind of resolved. We've not had that bit of a attacking prowess from midfield, which we did see a little bit from Harvey Elliott, and we have seen in recent games from Curtis Jones. How are you feeling now that we've seen a lot more usage from guys, you know, guys we wouldn't have really thought about in much regard at the beginning of the season, with Divock Origi, Minamino in certain cases too, and of course with Curtis Jones? Are you feeling a little bit better in terms of that depth that we have in the squad? Because one thing that I've seen, I'm pretty sure you can relate as well, that our benches in Premier League games look really strong when the first 11 is as is.
Yeah. To be honest, I like it, but I'm still a bit concerned because we don't have enough pace.
That's a very good point, you know. Yeah.
So my problem is the pace in and behind, because that's where our game, that's what separates our game from everyone else on a counter-attack. And the players with the pace are not playing well. So the likes of Divock and the likes of Chamberlain, they're not in the best of forms. So can we really expect anything from them? Divock looked good against Milan and also Norwich. He looked Norwich in a League Cup. He looked pretty decent, to be fair. Can't really knock him.
I think me and you, I think, but that that AC Milan game, me and you were there like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was a bit like, all right, what's this guy doing?
Who's he?
Where was this lad? Where's he been? Even for like the assist, you know what I'm saying? He showed his technique. Look at that pass, but that's Firmino-esque type of passing, bro. You know, I expect that from Divock Origi for the last couple of years. So when I saw that kind of performance, me, I'm a sucker for these pulls. I'm a kind of, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, when you see Divock doing those kind of things and you think, oh, he's still got it in him, he can do it. But time will tell. I think the true test will come in January and February. That's where we usually have our slumps. All of Klopp's teams since he's been here, Jan and Feb is where we just go off the ball. Don't know why, I'm not too sure why, but we always have shocking January. We have terrible Januaries. February is just woeful. Then we pick it up again in March. So we'll see this season if those players can step up when we need them then, because I think that's where the fresh legs will be needed as much. So again, to answer your question, Chris, I'm in the middle. I'm not too sure yet because Klopp's not playing Minamino a lot. He hasn't played any. I don't think he's played a league game yet.
I don't know if I've seen the stats.
Yeah,
but I don't think we've really seen that much. But
in the league, we've seen him in the Champions League. We've seen him in the cups. Mm. Maybe that's what Klopp wants to use him for. Maybe I'm not too sure, but
it's a weird one with Taki because I think he's probably a bit more suited to Champions League games. As weird as that sounds,
yeah, I think because obviously the space is there and teams are not as intense as the league.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, when you're playing European games, they're going to sit back or they're going to try and keep their shape more than try and press you and getting around in and around you. So yeah, we'll probably see him more in Europe than we will see him in the league. But if he can show a bit of form in Europe, that hopefully that translates into the league where he can play a few games. So we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah, that lack of pace that you mentioned off the bench is a little bit spooky for me. There's a young German boy playing for Red Bull Leipzig, who's, you know, come on down, man. Come sign for death row. That's all I'm going to say.
Come sign for death row, man. His name's been bandied around a lot.
I think
a few certified journals. So either Liverpool have done the job already or we're very close. But I'm not too sure.
Well, we're a big... We're not big fans of Monster Energy at Liverpool Football Club. We are definitely Red Bull drinkers. Red, you know, Bull, what I mean? Yes. Rum, yes. And Red Bull. That is the drink of choice at Liverpool Football Club. It is really interesting. Obviously, we've got that really pretty good strategic relationship with Red Bull in terms of signing the players and stuff, which is pretty good. And that model, I kind of see that model that they operate there. And footballing models is something we'll talk about a little bit later on. It's something I see being replicated a lot, possibly by us, maybe in the near future with those feeder clubs and stuff, and kind of having that footballing network to kind of grow and develop players going forward. So it is really interesting. And, you know, that Red Bull footballing project is something I like to see a bit of a case study done on in the future. Yeah. If any researchers are listening out there, something we'd definitely like to see.
Yeah. Even they even got a forward at Leipzig. Is it Nkulu? He used to play for PSG. The right winger. He's also. I read an article done by Raphael Hodgestein for another pod. Oh, sorry for butchering your name. I'm terrible. But yeah,
you are a friend of the pod, though. You got that right.
Yeah, friend of the pod. I read an article about Nkulu and about how he plays, and he's very similar to Salah and Mane in that he's a very aggressive, quick winger who wants to get into the box as soon as possible, very direct. So that is probably, again, someone we should be looking at in January. But obviously, he's Champions League, so I'm not too sure how the cup ties work now, but a player's been cup-tied.
I think because of the sheer corruption of UEFA, they got rid of the cup. So weirdly enough, they got rid of the cup tie thing after we sold Coutinho to Barca. Obviously, that was in January, wasn't it?
Oh, right.
So weirdly enough, after that, the season after it had gone. So yeah.
Well, did you get that?
And then that came back to slap them in the face, mm-hmm. really, because he bagged, didn't he, in the game that they played against each other, but then Bayern absolutely slapped Barca up.
Yeah, he did play. So hopefully Liverpool will look at attackers, because I think we did mention that we need a player who's devastating 1v1.
Yeah.
Because you can't always like play to feet. You just need to get the ball over the top. As we can see with Mane and Salah, who are two proponents of it. They're not really, apart from Mane, he's got a bit of tricks and flicks, but his main game is just low centre of gravity, running at you, running as quick as possible. There's not much you can do when he's doing that. Same with Salah, the two goals he scored, the goal he scored and the goal he made against Man City, which just typifies that just pace, brute force, you know what I mean? Coming out. I think that's what we need because that's our game. So hopefully we will see that addressed in January.
Yeah, sometimes you do need a bit of Alan Saint-Maximin or Adama Traore, you know, that pure speed. But with a little bit more end product would be nice.
That would be lovely.
The amount of times I've seen Adama Traore just beat seven people and then fire it basically into my back garden is insane.
from the right wing. Shocking.
It's like, bro, this isn't the authentic Premier League bro. Match ball. Okay.
Oh, what's that? Oh god.
But you know, I do post that meme in the Coppen group as you know, transfers basically turned. If you don't know at this point, during the summer and kind of to now, really, the group erupted into basically civil war in terms of FSG and FSG out, which was, looking back at it, was just funny. We've done numerous Patreon pods kind of covering this. So again, if you're not signed to the Patreon, go over to the Patreon and sign up today to listen to those shows. They are up on there and they are a good listen. Again, yeah, I did post them. I do post the meme in the group when we're talking about transfers. Don't make me tap the sign. And I tap the sign. We're not talking about transfers in this group. Not until January. No transfer talk until January.
Facts.
But kind of covering off on that conversation, have you seen anyone that we've been linked to, even tentatively? And is there anyone that you've seen, European-wise, Premier League-wise, that you think could do a bit of a decent job for Liverpool?
Yeah, I think Adeyemi, to be fair. I just think Adeyemi, how old is he, 19? He's got a big future ahead of him. He's already a German international. He just looks very confident. He just looks like he's ready now. I think that's a player that we should really be getting because you bring him in, put him on a five-year contract. He slowly transitions into whoever he wants to be, if it's Salah or Mane, whatever. Then also you've got Cade Gordon coming in. He's just signed a new contract as well. So I can see in the next couple of seasons he can be in and around the first team. So yeah, he's the kind of player I'm looking at, to be honest. Just because of his profile, man. Yeah, I think he can play across the front three. He's someone that holds up the ball well. In a couple of Champions League games where I've seen him, I think he's won like 3-4 penalties by himself, just because of his share, you know what I mean? He's how quick he is, his audacity, his tricks and whatnot. So yeah, he's someone that we should be looking at, man.
Oh, 1,000%. I saw I can't even pronounce the outlet it came from, but I saw something earlier on today that links Liverpool with Yao Felix. And I was like, that's weird.
Yeah,
it's like, he's like £100 million footballer and... Yeah. I think it was something about a loan move in January. I was like, £100 million footballers don't make loan moves in January. Yeah, what are we doing here? Like,
a bit strange. Yeah, that'd be a good sign.
Do we look like morons?
Yeah, there is some football fans that are morons, so they just
that is true.
Yeah.
Tell you who aren't morons, though. People who sign up to the Coppen Fracas Patreon page. So if you're not a moron, head over to the Coppen Fracas Patreon page and sign up today. some elite promos being cut here. You look at the fixture list after the international break. I've said it countless number of times. I really can't be arsed. With Saturday's game, new manager bounce Watford. It's 12:30 on a Saturday. We're not going to have Alisson and Fab. I already can't be bothered with it, but somehow, some way, I've got the trust in the boys to go out and do a job.
Yeah, I can't really be arsed with it as well. That's when Saar turns up.
It's just when Tom Cleverley inevitably turns to Andre Pirlo, and you're thinking, this is what we're doing.
Saar turns up, becomes that prime Ronaldinho. man, I can't be arsed, man. I can't be. But again, like you said, I just hope the boys can come through. Who's gone on international break? I know Hendo didn't start today. Millie's been training. Trent's been training. Firmino's been training. Trent's been training. So we've had a fairly strong contingent training.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the likes of Alisson and Fab, how do you replicate that? You can't. So, yeah, like you said, man, 12:30 kickoff, new manager bounce. I can't be bothered with it.
It's just one of them ones. Like, it's unnecessary stress.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary. You know
what I mean? Even a fixture list. After that, we've got Atletico Madrid, then we've got Man United. We've got Preston, then we've got Brighton, then we've got Atleti again. Then we've got West Ham. It's a bit peak still.
Weirdly enough, the United game, if we're looking at teams in terms of form and team play cohesion.
Yeah, that's one we should be wrapping up.
Yeah, it's odd that you say that. But, I mean, you look at the individual quality they have got in that squad. They've got somebody match winners across. You've still got to be in the tip-top condition and you're on the top of your game to make sure that you come out there with 3 points, as we did last season with a weakened squad, which was insane. Yeah. Again, looking back at it, maybe they protest and get that game cancelled yet again. but the Brighton game, I think, is going to be fascinating because you look at how they've set up. They've been playing really well. They've been getting goals, which is the weird thing about it. One thing that they, XG darlings from last season have actually been scoring goals. And then you look at West Ham as well. West Ham have been playing really well. So, it's not a traditionally you would look at that and think, okay, cool, lots of winnable games there, definite 3 points across the board. But it's a little bit of a test as well, especially when you can factor in those Champions League games too. But I guess the beauty of those Champions League games is if you come away with 4 points from both of those games, you basically guarantee yourself qualification. So you've got two throws of the dices there to end that and have a bit more rotation as well.
Going on this season's form, man, the next few games are really tough. I mean, apart from Watford. But again, like we said, new manager bounce, so we don't know what to expect there.
Can't be asked.
It's fun. We don't need that. Atleti home and away, sandwiching between Man United, Preston and Brighton. It is tough. And we're going to see what the squad is made of. We're going to see what they're on. I think this is the time where we probably need as many people fit as possible. Just because, so we can get as many points as possible. I'm intrigued. I'm very fascinated to see how we do. Because again, we haven't lost a game this season.
Mm-hmm.
So they must fear us as much as I don't think we fear them. I just think the fans, obviously, we the fans are a bit like, whoa, we don't know, we're not too sure. But I think Liverpool have scored plenty of goals this season. I don't. They've only scored one goal once, which is fascinating.
The Chelsea game.
Yeah. So we're in good. We're in good nick. To be fair, we're in good nick. We haven't conceded many. So again, it's weird as a football fan. You worry about things, but then when you put everything down on paper, you see that you're just chatting bear shit, man.
Any, obviously with these games coming up, are you looking for a little bit of kind of marginal gains from any of the players in these few games? Because you kind of look at Virgil. I think Virgil's done a decent job, but he's not been at his elite peak, which is to be expected when you come back for an injury such as an ACL, which it is quite devastating. But do you think there's a little bit more to come from some of these players as well? I mean, put Mo Salah aside for a second because like we discussed last week, and we'll discuss again later on because we've always got time for Mo Salah. He's operating on best player on the planet levels, if not best player in the universe levels at the moment.
Yeah.
But are there any guys you think you could see a little bit more to come from them after this international break?
Jota. I don't think Jota's hit the highest we expect him to hit. It sounds a bit strange. Yeah, it sounds a bit strange, but I don't think he likes playing down the centre. I don't think that's his game. He wants to play on that left hand side and cut in. Who did we play? I think Man City. Who did we play? We played down the left anyway, man, but he looked really good. And that was probably his best game he's played. So I think there's a bit more to come from Jota. Strange to say, there was a bit more to come from Mane. That first half against Man City was ridiculously bad. Then he's picked it up in the second half. So, oh,
bro. I generally thought you had Tim's on that first half.
Oh, that first half was nuts.
Oh,
like, his touch was scary.
It was heavy. Wow. Heavy touch. Jesus.
I thought, wow. So, yeah. But it's funny because Mane is what, our second top scorer, or probably joint second with Bobby.
Yeah, this is the mad thing. Because if you look at I was looking at this earlier on. Look at Premier League goals. I generally think he's... Yeah, he's got 4 Premier League goals. So he's like joint fourth.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's mad that was what expecting more. But that's just the levels that he set. So once you set those levels, we just expect you to abide by those levels. So there's a bit more to come from him. Hendo in the last couple of games has looked very leggy. He hasn't played very well. Defensively, he's been a bit shoddy. Again, that's just him, years of injury and just looking like an old man. I don't think he can play as many games as that. I think Jones can still go up another level. He's an excited prospect. I think he's got like 4 assists in his last 3 games. We saw his assist yesterday, how he's picked up from midfield and the pace he's shown. So that's something that we can see from him. Like you said, I think Van Dijk can pick up a little bit. But again, he's had like a year out. So we give him a benefit of doubt. I think Robbo played all right. He's more to come from Robbo as well. He hasn't played that well this season. We're going to keep it a buck. Who else? Naby. Just stay fit, mate. Kind of sick and tired of saying that.
He's got an unreal goal as well, didn't he?
Unreal. What, against Palace? Yeah. The thing is, with certain footballers, you know the quality they possess. So it just frustrates you that you cannot see, you don't understand why they're not showing it on a consistent basis.
Oh, yeah, sure.
If Naby just plays at the level that we know he can play, we wouldn't really miss, like, let's say, not that we miss Van Alden, but it'll be a foregone conclusion. Like, okay, cool, he's gone. We just replace him with Naby. Do you know what I'm saying? So, hopefully, Oxlade-Chamberlain, not too sure what's going on there. Can't tell you the kind of mindset he's in. So, there's players in and around the squad that you, come on, let's show why you lot are champions and let's try and pick up the level a little bit. I mean, imagine you're chasing a game and you don't bring Ox on. It's crazy, isn't it? So,
that was the weird thing about the City game, where there was room for someone with a bit of, you know, speed, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Room for someone who could drive the ball a bit forward. And, you know, traditionally you look at the bench and you say, Ox would be that guy, but didn't even bother, didn't even get looking.
No. And like, I think Fahy mentioned in a group that the best person for that right-hand side whilst Elliot is out injured is probably Ox. Mm-hmm. Because we're doing this thing where we're bringing in Trent and Trent's coming in to play centrally. Then the right side in midfielder is pushing out wide. And he's just a perfect player to do it because his delivery is A1. He's got great technique, pace. He can do that role. So you want a bit more from him. Hopefully we can see it this season. Because when he played against Norwich, he was really, really shambolic. Really, really bad. That was a really bad performance. So, yeah. So those are the players I want to see a bit more of. Anyone else? Bobby hasn't really... Well, Bobby's been injured, so I'll give him benefit of doubt.
True. I wouldn't mind seeing a bit more Shimakas.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally wouldn't. Yeah, I was thinking about it today because he is the player we thought we bought from Moreno. When we bought Moreno, we thought we bought, yeah, so that Shimiko.
That's a shout, you know.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And someone said to me that his delivery is as good as Robertson's, if not better. And I think that's a, yeah, I'm having that.
He set piece delivery as well.
A1, bro. Really how many good. Times have we taken a corner and just doesn't go past first man? Absolutely insane. Insane, bro. You've got a corner.
And there was a mad start. There was a mad start I saw where like something about X amount of goals come from set pieces. And it was like, someone replied to it saying, imagine how many more we get if the fucking cross had beat the first man.
it's insane how many times the first defender heads out from the corner. It's ridiculous, man.
Bro, it's ridiculous because I know we brought in these like neuros. There was a piece on the Athletic. I think it was yesterday or today that these we brought in these neuroscientists to kind of help us do a bit better set pieces. It's like. You can bring in all the scientists that you want, all you know, bring in you know, all the everything that you could possibly imagine, all the resources. But if the ball's not beating the first one, then what's the point?
What's the point, bro? What's the point? you can draw as much lines and data, you can do whatever. But if man are not just lifting up the ball to beat the first man, forget about it, man. Forget about it. It's crazy. So, yeah.
This is the thing, though. It's like we've had this really good start of the season. Unbeaten, doing terrifically well in the Champions League, and the team are playing really well. Individuals are playing really well, and the team are playing really well. More importantly, but it's just crazy to think about. And I guess it's like with any aspect of life, really, when you do think about it, that there are all these like small little areas that we can tidy up and make these improvements to.
Yeah,
and you get gradually better with over time, where the team can just generally get better.
Yeah, literally. And also, we're still like in a hangover phase from last season. Because we don't know what's going to happen. Because, like you said, the human mind is crazy because season before that, we were just a machine. And we thought, mate, yeah, this is we're going to do this for the next 5 years, bro. Then you have like a season like last season, and it's absolutely chaotic. Then you come in this season, so you come into this season with a bit of trepidation. You've still got your optimism, but you're a bit like, I don't know, man, what's going to happen? Oh, he's gone down injured. Oh, my God, no. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like you said, Chris, there's things that we can improve on and we can notice that we can improve on. And I think the team knows they can improve on. Like, defensively, you need to be a bit more switched on. First half, again, against Man City, Klopp said he didn't understand why he was playing all these aimless balls into the box. You know what I'm saying? Like,
bro, those diagonal balls that we kept playing from the centre-backs was ridiculous. Just...
absolutely ridiculous. There's one that Hendo keeps on doing from the right-hand side. He's trying
I don't
to,
know like, why he keeps doing it. And he always has a specific motion as well, where he's like hands.
Yeah, you like, know it's coming, isn't it?
Like that.
Yeah, you know it's coming. You just know it's, he's going to do it. Man, I love Hendo with all my heart, I swear to you, but fam, when he does that, I just think, bro, what is the point? What are you doing? This. If you're not going to shoot, just keep it moving. Like, just keep it moving. You know what I mean?
Bro.
I don't need you to keep on, like, hooking it. And it's such a pathetic ball as well, like, because it's a nothing ball. It doesn't go anywhere.
It's a ball over the top. Like, you wouldn't mind if it was, like, on the ground. But it's, like, it's over the top. It's, like,
it's just over the top.
We've not got, like, 6'4" men that can, like, chest this down, you know? Like, I don't know who you think he's playing up front.
I'm not too sure, fam. Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, there is little bits that we can improve on, and hopefully over time as the season progresses we get a bit neater, we get a bit stronger, then we just keep on running with it, man.
Yeah, for sure. Before we do kind of start talking about Salah's contract and delve a little bit into the Newcastle stuff. Watch any good TV lately?
I was trying to watch Squid Game. I was trying to watch Squid Game, but I think I watched like 2 eps. I haven't really gone back to it, to be quite honest with you. As you can tell.
So give it a go. The payoff's pretty good.
Yeah. It started really well. I watched like the first 2 episodes. I watched the part where they'd done the game, the red light, green light game. And I thought that was absolutely terrific and terrifying.
Oh, bro.
Mate, what a game. I would love to do that, but yeah, I'll probably get shot up instantly. Yeah.
Yeah, the consequences are too much.
It's too much for me. It's too. But do you know what is the premise of the program is so good. It's like we as humans, we do so much to get so much money, and we lose it all. What are we willing to do to get money? You know what I'm saying? Just to sort ourselves out. Like, it shows that we're willing to do anything. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm gonna try and finish that. I watched The Many Saints of Newark. Absolutely epic.
Ah, what a film.
Absolutely epic, man. That is, yeah. It's funny. Do you know what I liked about it? Is because he said I think there was one story. Remember when in Sopranos, when they're talking about how Tony's dad shoots his mum's beehive? I just thought, wow, that's sick.
just for the audience point of view, me and Els, we're really big Sopranos fans, and obviously one of the things we did kind of during one of the initial phases of quarantine was we rewatched it back.
Yeah.
And just in anticipation of this movie coming out, and one of the good things about the film is if you're a big fan of the TV show, some of the callbacks that are very specific to things that happened in the show. Yeah. Are just a really good like the one line where I guess it's a little bit spoilers, but you know, if you've not watched it is what it is. But when they're all sitting at the dinner table and Junior goes, doesn't have the making of a varsity athlete, that kid.
Yeah. You said that again, yeah, you'll never make varsity, yeah.
But no, man, it's such a good, I mean, it's one of the best programs of all time. It's a really good film. So if you haven't watched Sopranos, do watch it. And then do watch the film as well, because the payout is really good. I've been watching Seinfeld on Netflix. It's one of my favorite shows. I'm a big Larry David fan, first and foremost. Very much looking forward to Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back in a few weeks. So that'll sort me out quite well. But there's so many fucking iconic moments in that show. It's unbelievable. I think I can relate to George Costanza a little bit too much in certain areas, but
do you know the best episode I watched of that was when I think he says he can do something for New York Mets, but he can't do it, so he just hides in the office. Just they keep on coming into the office. Hey, George, can you do that? And he's like, I'll try. Well, he can't do it. He's absolutely hilarious. I need to watch it, man. I'm gonna get on.
It's too good, man. The peak 90s TV. People can have their friends. The streets will have Seinfeld. It is what it is, man. It is what it is. That was the Entertainment Hour with Elton Krish. Want a little bit more of that going for... Yeah, we can make this a weekly thing. Or do follow us on Twitter for a little bit more of that. Mo Salah. I saw actually, I need to send you this. I don't know if you were tagged in it earlier, but there was a really funny tweet where obviously he's on international duty, and he's surrounded by all these bodyguards walking up these stairs, and he looked like WCW Goldberg, and then someone dubbed it over with the Goldberg entrance music, and it's like it's the best thing I've seen this week so far. So it made my week. But this guy, what he's doing in the beginning of the season, how he's kind of took his game up another level. I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. Big Dragon Ball Z fan. He's gone from Super Saiyan. He's found a level beyond Super Saiyan, reaching new heights, tackling new goals, and God, what this guy can do is just absolutely insane.
Bro, it's mental. Like again, when we signed him, I didn't expect none of this. I was like, oh, we just signed a good forward. I was a bit like, don't know. We'll see how it goes. 35 million, Mo Salah. Don't know. Played at Chelsea, was a bit of a flop. But since he's been here, he's been A1. Absolutely A1, bro. He's got 101 goals in however many league games. I thought I would never see a footballer score 100 goals in his time at Liverpool. Because all the good attackers that we had, they come here 3 seasons, then they go away. So I thought, if he gets 15 a season, I'm happy with that. But what he's doing is absolutely incredible. Now he's made himself our go-to guy. He was our go-to guy last season. Now this season's our go-to guy. The goal he scored against Man City last week just typifies what he's on this season. The sheer brilliance. He shrugged off Cancelo, who's supposed to be arguably the best right back in the league or whatever. Then he sat down. Who did he sit down? I think Bernardo Silva. He sat down Bernardo Silva. Great feet. He's made Laporte look like a amateur centre-back. And he started it with his right foot against a very good Edison. And that's the best team. Obviously, if you're going from last season, that's the best team in the league. He's done that. He's made all of them look like amateurs. It must get to a point where you look at it like, just give the guy what he wants. I can't really see him slowing down. Can you? I can't see him slowing down. He looks after himself very well. I think it was on a main pod, on a touchline main pod, I think I said that he's of the ilk of, in terms of looking after himself, Ronaldo, how he just looks after himself. He eats well. He makes sure he's eating the right foods. You know, saying he doesn't drink. I'm not too sure if he drinks like any soft drinks or whatever, but he's just someone who's in peak condition. He's seldom injured. Since he's been here, how many injuries has he had? I can't recall that many. You can't. So when you look at all of that, and it's funny because FSG are so big on stats. I'm sure all the stats that they use to go and pick up Salah, if they look at that, if they look at the stats now, it's probably times 100. And to think that in 5 years you sign a guy who's seldom been injured is absolutely frightening. Why are you stalling on a contract? I'm not too sure. If anybody in the club has a problem with it, then step up your game. Step up your game. Because you can't say to, in the last 5 years, your all-time top scorer in the last 5 years, that, oh, well, if I give you this, then Van Dijk's going to be upset. Or this so-and-so is going to be upset. Mate, step up your game then. Be
independent. This is the thing as well, because I think with the players, you have to look at what he's doing. You think, you know what? Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like
you play with a guy. It's like in the workplace. Yeah. Every quarter, your colleague John Wick gets best performance every quarter, and you can see he's putting in work. He comes in early, does his job.
Most nameless assassins killed.
He's waiting at work. He's always looking for his dog, and he finds his dog. You know what I mean? he puts in work, fam. And you can't just go and say, "Oh well, if he's getting that, then I deserve." No, you don't. You don't, because you're not putting in work like that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly, man.
You're not. So for me personally, if he says he wants 300 grand, why are you not giving it to him?
Give it him.
I don't understand why you're not giving him. Just give him. Like, who's going to complain? If someone else wants 300 grand, okay. Put your numbers in the table and let me know.
Exactly. He's a player who's worth breaking the wage structure.
He is.
And it's not even up for debate. I think the point you made just about him taking elite care of himself, he's in that stratosphere of, you know, the Cristiano Ronaldos, the LeBron Jameses, of those athletes that fine-tune their body and they invest in their body to keep themselves at peak physical performance. So when they hit the, you know, 36, 37 age, they don't look like they've missed a step. They're still performing at that elite level. They're still there. You know what I mean?
Even Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
He's of that ilk as well. Like, when Suarez was here, the only time he was not playing was when he was suspended.
Yeah, that's wild when you think about it.
When you think it's pretty mental, isn't it?
That's a bit mad.
That's the only time he wasn't playing. Like, the only time he doesn't play is when he's suspended. Like, these people just look after themselves. They work hard. And I believe that you should reward people like that. It will really, really annoy me that if he was to leave,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't give him a contract, I think that will absolutely pee me off. Again, I'm not a big fan of baseball or anything, but they've got a history here with Mookie Betts.
Yeah, so he was eligible for, I believe it's like one of the bigger contracts you can extend someone to, and that was baseball. This is the thing I remember with these contracts. These baseball contracts, there's no fees involved and whatnot. So it would have been something like a mad 10-year or 8-year contract where it's worth up to, I'm not too sure if they're all fully guaranteed contracts or whatnot, but something around the $200 million mark, something around that. And then they traded him because they simply just didn't want to extend him. So it is odd. And then the weird thing was he got traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they won the World Series. They won the World Series after. So it is weird. But then again, the Red Sox are a weird team. They're actually playing really good baseball at the moment.
They are.
Really shitty roster.
I think they just beat a team who's won 100 games.
Bro, they beat the Yankees in a playing game, and then they beat the Tampa Bay Rays. They're beating the Tampa Bay Rays in this series. The only reason I know this is because I've got a load of American friends who love baseball. And when they're talking about it, I'm just sitting there like, yes, baseball.
Hit, ball, run.
So yeah, it's like for the FSGL crowd, they're sitting there thinking, they can't keep getting away with this. Can't keep getting away with it. You look at Mo. He's vastly entering the stratosphere of, or in the conversation of, one of the greatest LFC players ever. And to let the guy leave would just be... it'd be mad. It makes no sense. So he's definitely going to get... I think something will get done. And he'll break the wage structure. We'll all be happy.
Yeah. Just go back to your point, Christian, about where he stands in regards of like the... like the Mount Rushmore of Liverpool players. I mean, one more title and his name is going to be mentioned with the Dalglishes and the Gerrards of this world. It has to be fair, just because of what he's done, at the level he's done it, what he's helped Liverpool do. So, mate, like you said, just get it done, man. So hopefully something will get done.
No ITK by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, you expect something to be done. When it will be done, that's the question. But fully expect something to be done. Get him tied down and, you know, keep marching to win the league, really. One thing I do want to quickly talk about before we do finish the pod. Surprised you managed to do 50 minutes. That's insane. I have no idea how we managed to do 50 minutes, but, you know, it speaks to the quality of personnel, really. Two-man game, you know what I mean? Quick tag team champions on there. Quick discussion about Newcastle, and I just think it's fascinating when these kind of takeovers happen because it essentially wipes the slate clean. When it's a big money investment coming in, you know, you've got endless resources and there's endless directions of what you can go in, and it does essentially wipe the slate clean of what's happened before. So for you, Els, let's have a quick discussion about if you were to kind of structure a football team over the next 4 to 5 years, what kind of direction would you go in? Who would you look for to hire as, you know, a sporting director, manager? What your philosophy would be on, you know, transfer strategy and kind of that direction, really. So I'm kind of interested to see what your ideal football club would look like.
I think if I had that kind of money, I would firstly try and get the best sporting director there is out there, and I'll get him to get the best footballing operation he can put in. I saw that was linked with Ralph Raniak.
When I saw that, I was sitting there thinking, you couldn't get a better person.
Yeah, mate. I mean, he trying to look for the right word. He kind of sorted out Leipzig and the Red Bull, the whole thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
He galvanized it. Yeah.
He just galvanized them. He put everything into place. So I'll put money on someone like him or Monchi at Seville.
Yeah.
For me personally, I'll try and do that. First year, I'll try and get as many good players as possible just to keep us in the league and push us up and try and win a trophy. Then after that, I'm going to try and build for the future, make sure my football operation is well. So what I'll try to do is buy the best under 24 players in and around the world, really, who I can bring in and try and build from that. Get a coach like Klopp, who is very good at getting the best out of players and every single inch of talent, he uses it. And then just build from there. Obviously, you probably need one or two top elite players just to galvanize the fans and galvanize the team. So I wouldn't mind spending a pretty dollar on that. Who it is, I don't know, it's up to you. But I'll probably take the same route that Man City's taken, to be quite honest.
It's a weird one. I was thinking about this the other day, looking at who their kind of big money signings were back in the day. Robinho was the big money signing.
Yeah, exactly. And that was just... And it was them ones where they just needed a statement. They just needed a statement signing. But then if you look at the players that's really contributed to them, they bought Kompany. I think Kompany was just before the money, to be honest.
And he used a low amount of money as well. I think it was only about five million.
Yeah, something like that. Then they bought David Silva, who was a very good player, but it wasn't really a world-class signing.
I agree.
Again, Aguero, they bought Aguero in. Again, really, really good player. Someone that's like, you speak about, oh, he's so good. But again, it's not real. I can't remember when Aguero came in, people were like, what are you going to get? Can he do it? And, I mean, that was another great signing. So those are the kind of signings that I'll be looking for. Top talent. So if Newcastle can sort themselves out as soon as possible, I'll be looking at trying to get Joao Felix in. So he's going to be your principal signing, and you're going to try and build around that. So you try to get Joao Felix in. He's an elite young defender right now. Think of a top young defender in Europe.
Probably go and get someone like Sven Botman from Lille.
You know, this is why me and you are good mates, because that was in my head. that name was coming out. So someone like him, Sven Botman. Then you get like a Pedri from Barcelona. He hasn't signed a new deal yet.
Yeah, he's also not slept in about 6 years as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah. They got that kid working. He's working.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? So those are the type of signings that I would make. I know it's easy to go and get like the best players, but you need to find balance. I don't understand why you wouldn't want, if you've got all that money, why don't you just sweat your in-house? You know what I mean? Like, sweat your football.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, man.
Yeah, you can't just keep on throwing shit at the wall expecting something to stick. You can either go... go on, sorry, Chris.
That's it. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, so you can either go the Man United Chelsea route or you can go the Man City route. Obviously, we know Man City got so much money and they do a lot of dodgy stuff, but either that, if we forget about all of that and just focus principally on their football operations, it's magnificent. All their signings. Yeah,
like you look at that kind of stadium, that mini stadium they've got for the academy that's across the street from the actual stadium.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Then if you look at all their signings they made, yeah, cool, they spend 50 million, but out of all the signings they made, which one can you say is a certified, when they bought him, he's a certified elite player?
Not of them, really.
Yeah, you can't really name that. Yeah, cool, they spend a lot of money. That's fine because they've got the money, but they've always been signings who are under 24, under 25, with a lot of scope to grow. So they started with Sterling. Sterling was Gabby Jesus, Sane. They've got Ferran Torres. They just bought Grealish. Obviously, Grealish is about 26, but we can, if we just mess around with numbers. Obviously, they got Foden, Gundogan, Bernardo Silva. It goes on and on. I mean, these are now they've got Diaz, they've got Laporte. These are just really good, talented players. So that's the route I will go down if I was Newcastle. And I'm sure they've seen that and they're probably going to try and copy that, but that's what I'll do personally.
No, that's a really good shout. I feel like the aim would be, and it's a really difficult one to nail down kind of initially, but I mean, the ultimate aim would be to be Dortmund recruitment with a bit more financial backing.
Yeah.
So you're not losing these players. I mean, you look at the players that they've kind of signed across the years, and you obviously had to develop their model is to develop them to then sell them on for major profit. But if you can do that and then retain them, it's even better. Yeah. But I think for these first kind of like 18 months, obviously it's imperative that they kind of avoid being relegated first and foremost, because looking a bit peak, it's not looking great for them at the moment. So, you know, you're probably going to have to sign about 3 players in January.
Yeah, 3 somewhere. Top players. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You start off with that. You sign 3 top players.
Even like one of the guys I've seen them linked with is James Tarkowski, and I saw a lot of people thinking we've really got to be worried about these when they're signing James Tarkowski. Tarkowski's not that bad.
He's not
all right. Yeah, he's pretty good, man.
He's a signing that, yeah. Well, that's fair. That's a decent signing.
Yeah.
And do you know what it is? With players like that, it makes me laugh because you look at him, you think he's just a brute, but he's a decent footballer, to be quite honest with you.
He's not that bad, you know. It's like Lewis Dunk. Like Lewis Dunk, you think. Oh, mate. He's a big lad, you know.
But he's a good footballer. Even, who's the other centre-back for Brighton? I forgot his name. The Brighton centre-back, anyway. But Webster. He's another one. I think it's Webster. Adam Webster. I know they've played 3 at the back, and it's Adam Webster.
Shane Duffy.
Is it Shane Duffy? It's probably, but one of them is a sick footballer. But because he's not that glamorous. No, but fam, when they played us last season, I thought, fucking hell, bro. I didn't know he's this good. Fam, some of them are sick. So, yeah, that would be a good signing to you, bro.
Yeah, man. But I think it seems like they're destined to sign like a Coutinho.
Yeah.
It just very seems that that would be their kind of marquee, which are, you know, very weird, but good to see him free from those shackles, really, in all honesty. So.
Yeah, man, in all honesty, it's not. I'm happy for the Newcastle fans, to be fair. Obviously, take away the atrocities of Saudi Arabia. But
okay. Yeah, I mean, I tweeted this the other week. I said, last week, I said it'd be very hypocritical for me to kind of poo-poo the Newcastle thing, considering, you know, there's a WWE pay-per-view that's in Saudi Arabia in 2 weeks, which I will be watching. So it's, you know what I mean? I can't, you know, throw around loose morals like that and then kind of be like, oh, cool, Roman Reigns is fighting Brock Lesnar in a few weeks.
Yeah,
that'll be cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a weird double-edged sword, which you don't want to pretty much engage with.
It leads on to another question. How much of morality can you bring into sports?
That's true.
I saw a video of Mark Goldbridge talking about the ethical way to run a football club. Yeah, that's all well and good, but everyone has a business model. You know what I'm saying? Everyone has a bit, and everyone has a way of doing things. FSG is an investment. An investment, so they're trying to make their investment as good as possible. So sooner or later, they're going to sell it off because it's an investment. Chelsea, Man United, Newcastle now are just billionaire toys who want to make a name for them in the UK, in the Western world. So they're going to find ways to like just spend the money. So I don't think there's any right or wrong way. I mean, of doing things. FSG have a way they think that financial fair play is involved, so they want to try and do that in that way. But again, it's just the way you do your business model, man. There's no morality, because if there was morality in sports, then I don't know how to like, piece it all together, but if there was morality in sports, we wouldn't see certain things, you know what I'm saying? There isn't any morality in it, man. Just buy who you want to buy and get out of here, man.
Bro, there's no morality in sports when clubs are going under and you're looking to kind of undercut them to sign their best players.
Yeah, there's no morality. So, what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? There's no morality in sports, man.
There can't be morality as well, especially when they're all, you know, the authority groups are being looked at by the FBI.
Bravo. And this was my big, obviously was segueing from Newcastle, but this was my biggest thing with UEFA and FIFA. But you're getting looked at by the FBI. Do you know what the FBI is, fam? They look for John Barrett.
You're taking notes on a fucking criminal conspiracy?
You know what I'm saying? They look for drug barons. Why are they looking for all leaders of a football organization? So I don't want to hear no like morality. Even Thibaut Courtois came out and said that these people don't care about the livelihood of footballers. They just care about
the
money.
They don't at all.
And he made a good point. It was like, bro, by the time we play all these games, we're going to have 2 weeks of holiday. I'm a 9-to-5. I work 9-to-5. I get more holiday than them, fam. I can take holiday whenever I like. Do you know what I'm saying?
Trust me.
In the comments.
I can have a random Wednesday off. They can't.
They can't because they've got a Champions League game to play.
Yeah.
They can't have Christmas off because they've got a game on the 26th and they've got a game on the 31st. It's nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. So, like, what are we doing here? Like, you're playing football in, you've given a Qatar a World Cup. You're now playing in November, which has never been done before, in the middle of majority of everyone's season. It's in slap bang in the middle,
and you're bringing this spectacle. Yeah, the World Cup is a spectacle. You're bringing this into a stadium that's been built off the back of slave labor, essentially. There's blood that has gone into building these stadiums, and you know that's all fine because there's gonna be a nice fireworks display,
yeah,
and there's gonna be someone singing to introduce it all.
Yes, it's a farce, man. It's a farce. That's why during that Super League thing, I was thinking this is ridiculous, man. It's a farce. It's just one big farce. Obviously nobody's talking about what Courtois said, even though he's a footballer playing in the peak of his career. I was like, bro, I want to play until I'm like 38. But by the way, it's going, I've got to retire when I'm 30 because I've played a million minutes of football.
This is the thing, and it's no different to an employer, someone who's working at an Amazon, talking about the extortionate hours that they have to work in order to keep this machine going.
Yeah.
There's literally no different. It's the same. It's the same mechanics that make the wheel go around. So
it's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
And it's just mad. Then, On a separate note, you've got football fans saying, well, if I got paid X amount of money, I would do this. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. I can guarantee you, bro, if you had to... What does James Milner run on an average game?
Like 12 kilometres?
Well, if you cannot run 12 kilometres on a Saturday, on a Wednesday, back on a Saturday, you won't do it. You won't do it.
No, you'd be coughing blood by 20 minutes in.
Through your eyes. you got a feel for them, man. They're human beings at the end of the day, man. And yeah, take morality out of football. There's no morality in it. So I don't want to hear no one talking about good or bad way of doing things. Just do whatever you want to do, man. We live in a cowboy society anyway.
Completely agree. I fully endorse Rob This England, especially when This England is trying to rob you, first and foremost. Yeah. Fuck it. That's a conversation. That'll be a conversation for a completely different pod. If you want more of that one, listen to Mike's pod, Politics Jam. So, yeah, does a very good job. It does a very good job on that. So do tune into Mr. Mike Bancole's Politics Pod. Good time to wrap it up. I'm gonna go and watch Rush Hour 2, possibly one of the greatest films ever made. Come on, Lee.
Honestly,
the first and the second films of Rush Hour are just
elite. Brilliant.
It's the funniest thing as well, when I saw it in that thread of just like random tweets that said, I hate that racism could be funny sometimes. And it's just clips from Rush Hour.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, what a film series. You would never get away with that now. Ever.
Never, ever.
Ever, ever. Ever, ever. Forever, ever.
Forever, ever.
Forever, ever. Forever, ever. But yes, that has been the episode of Cop and Fracas. Somehow we've managed to do an hour and 10 minutes. That's our flu game. I've been your host, Krish. I've been joined by Els. Been a two-man pod, the tag team champions. Dudley Boys. Bubba Ray and Devon. I'm Devon, he's Bubba Ray. You didn't start one coming? You didn't start one coming.
They didn't.
And of course, we'll be back at the week. Actually, for Patreon subscribers, we'll be back on Friday for the weekend preview, brought to you by Anik, Fahi, and Peter will be on that. And we will have the Watford post match on Saturday as well, as soon as the game finishes for instant post match reaction. So if you do want to listen to that, subscribe to the Patreon page today. That's www.patreon.com/coppingpodcast. But until then, we will see you next Wednesday when we'll break down everything that's happened from the weekend and preview everything going forward. So until then, we'll see you soon.
Network.